today, Lord, have mercy on me to be shorter and succinct, but we're going to continue with part three of this book that was written. For us to appreciate the transactions between the Father and the Son, if this transaction didn't happen, that we'll be coming to, you and I wouldn't be here. And the power of all that that book conveys to us. And so, of course, I'll reiterate Deuteronomy 32, 32, and 33. Moses talking about this book from an absolute very, very long time ago, and also having the understanding that he could be blotted out of it. In fact, in his intercession on behalf of Israel, he offers himself, and he says, if you won't forgive their sin, then blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And pretty powerful words. And then God responds to Moses in the next verse, which we haven't covered yet. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Woo! That brings us into some dynamics that doesn't necessarily fit in with the theology of the day. And my prayer this morning was, if you never ever get anything out of anything I ever say, salvation presented to us in the scriptures is relationship. Men say, well, it says here, you know, I'm saved forever. That ain't relationship. Those are words. And the book of life, I look at the book of life kind of maybe quite uniquely. I look at the book of life as a living relationship. It's a living book. Like we stressed last week, your books are still being written. Every day there's entries into your book in heavenly places. And the book of life probably has got every one of us written in it. We're little sub-chapters. The enormity of God's ability is just incomprehensible. But let's go to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3. This is, just to convey that these things are the book of life. You know, people, they'll have all kinds of things to say, like, salvation's a mystery. Scripture says it's a mystery. And it seems to allude in the New Testament that you can be a child of God and yet not have your name in the book of life. The book of life is a book of relationship. I mean, a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me, to be in the Lamb's book of life, you have to have the Lamb's life. Active and moving and working in you. So let's just look at the church of Sardis again. We covered it, but we didn't cover this aspect of it. I mean, there's so many aspects here. But, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God, which we have now covered, and the seven stars, which we haven't. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but art dead. That's God's word to his church. Let the enormity of God's word enter our hearts. Someone want to read that in a different translation?
I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead.
Was there? Wow. There's presumption here. We presume because maybe we can speak in tongues. We presume because, you know, someone casts out demons and Jesus gives the little saying about, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not do that? Did we not? He goes, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? But there is a presumption that takes us out of the living, flowing water of God. And his gifts, it says in the scriptures, are irrevocable. His gifts are given. I still have a memory of my dad giving me a skateboard, and then I did something stupid, took the skateboard away. And you're like, well, what's happening here? But the thing that Jesus is always conveying in the New Testament is he defines eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that you may know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See what salvation, it's a relationship. And the depth of your knowledge, like every one of us has got probably 100 people that we relate to on certain levels. But there's certain people you share the innermost secrets of your heart, and there's people you go, I ain't saying nothing to that pilgrim because it'll be on the Christian grapevine in 30 seconds. But the depth of sharing is determined by the trust and the intimacy of the relationship. And God, you know, like you look at the Mount of Transfiguration, there's 12 disciples. Jesus takes 3 up to the top. And there's a certain thing that he's unveiling to these 3. There's a reason why John the Apostle was given the book of Revelation. There's a reason behind it. God shares himself. He entrusts himself. When you share something out of your heart, you're entrusting yourself to someone else. There is a... God says about Abraham, he's getting ready to go judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And God talks to himself because it's a trinity. He talks to himself. He says, shall I hide from my friend Abraham the thing I'm going to do because I know he's going to tell his children afterwards. He's going to communicate me properly to his descendants. So God goes, Abraham's the only one in the world that God unveiled what he's going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there is an intimacy. And Jesus is always saying, come unto me. Take my yoke of... You know, you look at a yoke of oxen, and they're what? They're walking, they're bound together. The body of Christ in God's eyes and his purposes is to bring us to the point where we're bound to him and we're bound to one another. There is a yoke. Paul called, in the, one of his epistles, he said, he called one person a yoke fellow. He says, I walk with this guy. This guy knows me, and I know him. And so God is calling us to relationship to himself and to one another. As we develop this, this has to happen. This is the outflow of this. So, we'll go on here in the words to the church at Sardis. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but you're dead. Be watchful. So what's God's instruction to people that are sleeping, dying, slumbering? Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. You've already lost some things. For I have not found thy works perfect, before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. So he's calling them back to former days. And heard, hold fast and repent. You, in your relationship with God, if you don't have frequent times of repentance, you need to kind of reconnect. Because you can't hardly spend any time with him without repenting. Because he is light, he is truth, he is glory, and we know what we are. So repentance is simple. I wrote an article one time, it came to me. Repentance is the atmosphere of God, of a man dwelling with God. It is the greatest gift he can give us. But anyway, we're going to go down here because I don't want to get going on Sardis again. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. See, we get saved, we're instantly garmented in the salvation, the garments of salvation in Christ. We're, you know, the moment you touch him and he touches you, you're just aware of being a whole new thing. There's just an awareness of it. Thou hast few names which have not defiled. They allowed their garments to get dirty and to stay dirty. That's what repentance is. Repentance is taking your garment and giving it back to God for a wash job. And have not defiled their garments. There's a few. Notice that in Sardis. There is a few. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. That's God's word to his church. That's powerful stuff. And the thing with this is, in my early years, I would read that, and I would go, well, I got to overcome. That's it. Brian's going to overcome. And you lay hold of that, and you, in your zeal, you trample over anybody and everybody because you're going to overcome. But I want to take this thought of overcoming now to John 15. John 15 is the great discourse, the great ministration of Jesus bringing you and I into the realization that salvation isn't a one and done deal. It's a life. So I'm the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Overcoming is the fruit of the life of Christ in you. There is something flowing in that vine that begins to pulsate through the branches. And it's the life, you know, you're talking about flee, youthful lusts. There's a life in the vine that pulsates. And in that life is the desire, first of all, to overcome. One of the freshest signs of the life of God in an individual is the desire to be free from sin. That's the law of his life. And so this church at Sardis, those seven churches mentioned in the book, they're all here and alive and well in Cranbrook. They're here. And so this life There's something in the life of the vine that goes, I got to keep my garments clean. I got to keep my thought life clean. It's an inherent aspect of the life of the vine. And try to overcome as you will in your own strength. Just read Romans 7. That's a good heart that's trying to fulfill the law of God in its own strength, in its own resources. But that life keeps flowing. That life keeps pulsating in you. And sometimes there's things, the worst things to get rid of are the ones you like the most. You know, like, it's, but in it all, see, salvation's a process. So you don't get under condemnation over your lack of victory. See, God's got something better than condemnation. He's got conviction, which is really good. He's got repentance, which is awesome. But he's got something even more than that. And that's the life of, the power of his life in you. And so, you know, you're scrapping with something and this goes on for years. Jesus said to early in his ministry, he must increase, I must decrease. And 95% of Christians that quote that, quote it backwards. You'll hear it almost all the time. I must decrease, he must increase. That's religion. That's religion at its worst. That's the Romans 7 religion. I am going to make myself decrease. God goes, have at her. You know, like Linda's dad shared one time, I never forgot it. He says, you know, if I'm going to crucify myself, I can get the nails in the feet. And if I'm really good, I can get a nail in one hand. I ain't going to get it in the other hand. We're crucified in Christ. And so the secret of overcoming sin in your life is the secret of the vine. He must increase. So the devil, like you read Hebrews 10, it talks about the law of sin and death. It talks about evil works. That's a works produced by self. Here's 14 strategies for overcoming sin. Well, have at her. He must increase. When something takes hold of you, you seek God. You pour out your heart to God and he'll increase. You want to get the muck out of a cup, you pour running water into it and it cleanses itself. He must increase. I mean, the whole strategy of the devil is to get you to try and clean your cup on the inside, or the outside for that matter. Because now you step into the world of condemnation, you step into the world of self-works, you step into the world of self, and the enemy goes, I got you now. I got you right where I want you. But what does it say in the book of Revelation, which we already read? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, isn't that good? That blood isn't just the blood that's been spilt for you. That blood is the life of the body of Christ. It's flowing. It's an eternal life. It says in the Old Testament, the life is in the blood. And so Jesus said, except you drink of my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. It's the life of Christ. Running water purifies itself. Don't let the enemy get you into condemnation where you become a stagnant cesspool. You stop flowing. So let's go to Hebrews. Where are we going to go here? Hebrews. Oh, it's the beginning of one of the chapters. Yeah, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The Greek word there, easily besets us, is peristatos. Para means around. Statos means not going anywhere. Sin stops you in your tracks. But how does he continue? Where am I here? And let us run. See, God has an answer for peristatos. Let us run. Let the life of Christ flow through you. So this church in Sardis, God says, keep your garments white. The law of the life in Christ Jesus knows nothing different than to keep your garments white. That living blood of Christ that flows through his body is in itself the very power for you to overcome. We are saved by his life. Paul says we're reconciled, we're redeemed by his death, but we overcome by his life. The twofold aspect of the living Christ. He not only bought you, but now he's at work regenerating you, renewing you. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's come to not only bring you unto good works, he has come to save you from dead works. So for, what does it say in Ephesians? For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. Lay hold of that. Not by works, lest any man should boast. For the next verse says, but we are his workmanship, saved unto good works. The life of Christ flowing in here has to produce the expression of Christ. And so, let's go back to where we were in John 15. If John 15 just... ever so often, you just sit yourself down and read it and let the words of God resonate within your being. So, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Why? Because a branch that doesn't bear fruit isn't drawing the life of Christ. You can't have the life of Christ in you and be fruitless. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility to go through life with the blood and the life of Christ flowing through you and be without works. It's an impossibility. James says faith without works is dead. What does this church at Sardis have? They got a reputation. Oh, we're alive. God looks down and he says, you're dead. Fruit is the... natural outflow of the life of Christ. You know, that apple tree out there this time of year, it doesn't know anything different. It's not sitting there slapping itself on the back going, hey, nice job. Those are awesome. Those apples, you're amazing. The apple tree just goes, well, that's what I do. You know, it's not going, hey, look at me, you know. It just goes, I don't know anything different. The law of Christ in you, there is a unique expression that you'll have. Because apple trees are all over the place. Living trees that are in Christ aren't all over the place. They're special. And it talks about the tree of life in the book of Revelation. It bears fruit in every season. Well, that takes a little. Got to get our roots down so that no matter what the weather's like, we're bearing fruit. And so, you know, this time of year, we start seeing all these trees fading. Pine trees gone. Ain't bothering me none. I ain't changing because of the weather. My life is fixed, and God is bringing you and I to the place where we honor Him. We glorify Him in every situation because we're drawing from the well of salvation deep within our being. And the weather don't affect it. Circumstances don't affect it. And we all know that that's something we grow into. And God is bringing you and I into places of so abiding in Him that nothing disturbs the power of His peace within the center of our being. That's what the church in Iran, there's people there that, boy, I get convicted. I told Linda, she sent me the link, and I said I got tears in my eyes and conviction in my heart reading about how they're walking. So John 15, I'm going to stay on target. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, we hear that all the time, but here's the real power, and I in you. See, relationship is a two-way, two-fold thing. And God, He's at work so that He brings us to the place where in our thought life, our innermost life, we become a place that He's pleased to dwell in. He comes and sits down. And He goes, I'm at home. The truth and the desire of those that are in Christ, Jesus said in one place, I and my Father will come and sup with Him. Have dinner. Isn't that, I mean, that's pretty. So the Holy Spirit's been sent to cleanse this and to purge this and to make us walk in white, as it says in the Church of Sardis. Why? So the Father and the Son are at home in us. The more He's at home in me, the more I'm going to comprehend the depths and the purposes that He has. Shall I hide from my friend, Abraham? See that? Friendship determines the depth of our seeing Him. Friendship with Him determines the depth of His sharing with us. Oh, and you just like, it ruins you for this world. So, going on here, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. There's been times in my life where I've withered. There's times that I have gotten caught up with other things. And that's where repentance is such a good thing. And if you read in, let's just go to Jude for a second. I mean, these guys toward the end, the book of Revelation, this Jude guy, he would not be very well appreciated today. Guaranteed. He's talking here, and someone should read it in one of the other translations, because and all the new translations bring this out. But I'll read it in the King James because that's all I ever read it up until a few days ago. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they're in our midst, clouds without water, carried about by winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Whew. How would you like to share that at one of our congregations today? Twice dead, that used to bother. How can a person be twice dead? It's somebody that's been born again in the Spirit of God and they're twice dead. They have neglected their lives. Fruit withering. I mean, these are powerful words. These are words of the Spirit of God. Woo. But we're not done. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But listen to the promise of to us. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And here's the heart of that sap that runs through the vine. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The phrase seems to indicate, so you shall be revealed as my disciples. Fruit is the revelation of relationship. Fruit is, what does it say earlier in this John 15? Without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, I have friends of mine that go, well, there you go. I'm just going to put my feet on the table. And I can't do a thing, so God's going to have to do it all. They're never going to touch the power of the life of God.
Been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, they'll be, some of them are older than I am. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that rule in your own heart. Seek the flow of the life of God. And every time you obey God, when he puts something on your heart, the floodgates open a little wider. Obedience is the door into the life of the Son. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. And in your relationship with him, he'll put things on your heart, like going to see someone. Every time you do something born out of love, that's just another flowing forth of the life of the Son in you. Love is the initiator of faith. So Jesus is at a house preaching in a meeting there, and the house is so packed that nobody can get in. And these guys had a paraplegic friend. And their love for him, they tore the roof apart. And it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, isn't that something? Healed the man. And then Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven. So there was a connection between his condition and his sin. But what did he do? He saw the faith of this man's friends. Isn't that good? I got friends that are sick. I've had friends that are sick or whatever. And I remember Gary Toyota when he was really, really, we didn't think he was going to make it. And I remember one night praying to God and I said, Lord, I said, if you were in the house, I'd tear the roof apart. And I knew God heard my prayer, that there was rest. I had rest. But love produces. Love produces the works of God in you. It is the engine, if you want to put it in mechanical terms. Love is the engine that makes everything go. You want to fulfill the will of God in your life? Grow in the love of God. Love can't help itself. Love lavishes itself. Love gives itself away. Love is the very heartbeat of heaven. And if you want to live there, start walking in it here. Love is the thing that makes it all work. This thing doesn't work without love. Jesus said in one place, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, you can't steal from your neighbor if you got love in your heart. The thought doesn't even cross your mind. So, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, This is where prayer begins to take on the sense of adventure, where you begin to pray for people, not because you're supposed to pray for people, but you begin to pray for people because there's a love there that goes, I cannot not pray for them. How's that? Double negative. There is something in the love of God that can't help but express the very life of Jesus himself. So Jesus said, if you love not your brother, don't tell me you love God. That's hypocritical. I came across someone the other day that, well, we're praying for the church. They won't have anything to do with the church, but they're praying for it. And you go like, that's impossible. That's impossible. So you look at Elijah and this child of promise. He's this woman who made provisions, her and her husband, but it says she was the one, you know how that is. She's the one that made a place for Elijah and his servant. And they're staying there, and, you know, prophets aren't always the most observant people. And Elijah looks at his servant, and he says, what can we do for this woman? And the servant goes, well, she's barren. So Elijah goes over and speaks a word to her. You're going to have a child. And of course, she has a child. And in the process of time, the child dies. So the woman runs to Elijah, and Elijah says, take my staff, lay it on the child, and piece of cake. Nothing happened. Elijah's shook. So he goes down, he prays, nothing happens. See, love won't give up. Love doesn't give up. And I see this, I see God raising up a prophetic people in this hour. To me, that child of promise is the body of Christ. We take our gifts, doesn't work. We pray for it. Doesn't work. And Elijah stretched himself over the child, identified with it, and the child came to life. See, love will bring you into places of identifying, of not criticizing, speaking truth, but it'll bring you to the place where you don't see yourself above others. You don't see yourself below others. But you are at the place where you identify with them. I remember reading this story. This is it. I was reading this story, and Father Damien, I think the guy's name was, and the same thing for St. Francis of Assisi, both of them. St. Francis of Assisi, I'll tell you his story first. He was this rich kid, and every day on his way to school, he would go by this leper colony. And every day, God is moving in him. And he'd look at those lepers with their fingers on the fence, some of them missing, of course. And then one day, he couldn't take it anymore, and he went over and he put his hands on the leper. And that was it for him. That one act. And he renounced his wealthy, his parents were extremely wealthy. He became a man totally given over to the will of God. Don't miss your opportunities to identify. If your heart is moving you, it can be the most unlovable thing. It can be whatever. But you step into it, and the floodgates of the love and the life of Christ will explode within you. He's, you know, I'm getting to the place where I realize he's in the face of every person I walk by. Like yesterday we were at A&W and there's a woman who's, she's so bowed over and she was doing a perfect L. She could hardly look up to get the door. I got the door for her. But there's something in your heart that begins to break. And, you know, you start going, Lord, did I miss your opportunity yesterday to pray for her? And, you know, your heart goes, well, you know, you haven't had too much success in this whole line of work. But that's not the issue. And that's the thing. We got to start walking through, and I got to walk through it myself, is are we going to let our faith determine our experience, or are we going to let our experience determine our faith? Those are the issues of life. And, you know, there's other things that come into that. You're not there to make a spectacle out of her. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that blend into it, but let God take hold of your heart. To them that overcometh in the book of Sardis, they keep their garments white. God says, I won't blot you out of the book. I won't take the life of that vine from you. I won't sever the heart and the power and the flow of the life of Christ. I'll open the doors and bring you into a life where in every season, you bear fruit. Because what is it? What is God after? Herein is my Father glorified. That you're able to teach nice things out of the Bible? No. That you bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the revelation of Christ in you. Anyway, this book that we're hopefully going to be getting to, this transaction between the Son and the Father is a sealed book. His life in you is a sealed book. And as you walk with him, next week we're going to go through a portion of the Song of Solomon, because that's us. And it's good. And then hopefully we'll get to the actual transaction that is taking place in our day. And but be mindful of the flow of Christ in you. Be mindful that if something overtakes you, something begins to plague you or has plagued you, don't concentrate on the sin. Concentrate on the life that can overcome it. Draw near to him, and the victory is assured. And one last thing I gotta say. This is it. To the church at Sardis, I looked this up in the Greek. That's why I like the Greek. I love the Greek. To him that overcometh. You know what it says in the Greek? To him that is overcoming. Present tense. Active. That means you. And it's a participle, ing. You, while you're on earth, you're never going to be able to say, I've overcome everything. Mm-hmm. Overcoming is the verb. It's the state of heart, the state of mind, and the state of the life of those that are what? Abiding in Christ. Present tense. I get up today. Maybe tomorrow when I get up, I'm going to be faced with a temptation or a situation I've never seen before. God goes to him that overcometh today. I like the ings in the Greek. I like it. It's a 24/7 thing. And I love you guys. And God is raising a special people up. The reason they're special is because he's special. He's the one that's He's going to have a generation that we talked about last week. He's going to have a generation that makes the 14th, that fulfills the book of the genealogy of Christ. And a generation shall serve him, and it shall be accounted unto him as a generation.